Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met yet, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This fall, you'll hear a combo of educator interviews and quick solo episodes where I share some favorite tips and ideas, including a few from my new book, EdTech Essentials. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today with the show notes and all the resources mentioned in this episode. This episode is sponsored by my Easy EdTech Club. It's for tech-friendly teachers and coaches who want quick ideas to save time and use digital tools with intention. The Easy EdTech Club is a monthly membership designed to help educators, like you, dive into one EdTech topic each month and get access to exclusive resources. Doors open up to new members in 2022, so make sure to grab a spot on the wait list. Head to classtechtips.com/club. This week's podcast episode is titled Digital Choice Boards with World Language Teacher Laura Boyd, and I'm so excited to explore this topic with you today. If you've used digital choice boards and are looking for more tips, or if you haven't used digital choice boards and want to know what they're about, you are in the right place. I saw Laura tweeting about digital choice boards and reached out to her to see if she'd join me to chat about her experiences. Now, Laura was kind enough to carve out some time after school, so there may be a couple points during our recording that the Zoom buffers a bit, but I'm confident that you will get everything that you need from this episode to put digital choice boards into practice in your classroom, or if you are supporting educators and recommending they try out digital choice boards, this episode has you covered too. At the end of the episode, I'll sum things up like I always do and give you some things to consider and some places to go for some extra resources around digital choice boards. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here today to chat about all things digital choice boards. But before we jump in, would love to hear a little bit from you. What is your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Hi, my name is Laura Boyd, and I'm a middle school Spanish teacher, and I have the opportunity and special privilege to teach fifth through eighth graders. So I teach fifth and sixth Spanish, and then I also teach 7th and 8th Spanish for high school credit.
Great. And so today we are talking about digital choice boards. And we first connected, I reached out to you on Twitter because I saw you tweeting all about digital choice boards and wanted to chat with you today. But before we talk about kind of all the things, getting started, how you make a digital choice board, all of that, what exactly is a choice board and what is different about a digital choice board?
I love use center station rotations in my classroom. And before COVID-19, I obviously would just randomize the kids through Class Dojo, and they would walk around the room either with QR codes and just go to different stations like Flipgrid, or they would do Play-Doh, one station me. But then when COVID came, I still wanted to integrate the technology and give my students a voice and choice. So that kind of started my idea of thinking I've got to be a little bit more innovative and be able to integrate the technology with my at-person or in-person learners and at home. And then now that we're back in classrooms, so I thought we'll just continue to do digital centers. So basically, the students will go to a Google Slide, which I'm using Slides mainly a template, and see that link on our Google Classroom page. And then there will be hyperlinks on each of the tickets so that those links will just send kids to Flipgrid Quizlet, Quizzes, WordArt, Pear Deck, self-paced. So they'll have a choice where they want to go in a voice. Instead of going whole group, they will be able to go where they want to go and complete as many activities as they can at their own pace and their choice.
So I love that centers connection, because I think a lot of people who teach, whether it's elementary school or middle school, or have set things up for their high school students, kind of understand that idea of centers and the choice that can be involved and just the movement throughout the classroom. So it's so interesting to hear that your shift from doing something like that to this digital choice board piece was really responsive to reaching all of your learners this past year, right? Whether kids were at home or they were in a hybrid model, but now that they're back, right, and you're using them with your students, you know, and you kind of mentioned a few different tools that you might point them towards or that might integrate alongside of this. But before we go through kind of the steps for setting this up, I would love to hear from you a bit about, are, you know, digital choice boards just for one grade level, just for one subject area? Are there ways that you're using them across grade levels and subject areas, or ways that you're seeing other educators kind of use them in different ways?
Yeah. So since I teach four different grade bands, I still teach the same content, Spanish, a world language. But I have found that, like, for my kinesthetic learners, they like to use Flipgrid and Play-Doh together. So they're talking about their learning in a center. And they also like to move around the classroom, like you already mentioned. And sometimes they feel more comfortable when they're, like, in the back of the room in Spanish versus, like, in front of all of their peers. I think it's really popular with elementary teachers, obviously. But I think middle school kids really benefit from working there, being able to choose where they go, because I find that they're really honest. They tell me, I like working with this EdTech tool better, and my personality kind of draws me more to the competitive side, like something like Kahoot or Quizlet Live. And then more of some of my introverts are like, I'd rather make a word art and do Pear Deck self-paced, because I'm more in touch with, like, just doing this on my own and my own, that competitive nature. So you grade bands to your content, and then you're getting the data, which I think is so important as the educator. So you know exactly how your students are participating and they're fully engaged with all of those tech tools.
So I just really like that idea that you are honoring student choice, giving them some options that feel good for them as a learner, as opposed to saying it has to be done kind of this one or only way, and that there is that connection to the data collection that's taking place too, so that you, at the same time as you're honoring those aspects, are collecting really actionable formative assessment data. So that's great to hear that from your experience. Not only have you used it in a world language setting across different grade level bands, but just seeing that it's being used in different settings. I like the idea that it is flexible enough. So you mentioned Google Slides and using Slides Mania as a template and the kind of interactivity piece, right? Being able to click on different options. Let's kind of go through the steps together. What do you need to do in order to create a digital choice board?
Yeah, so I think backwards planning has been really helpful. So first, I want to set a vision for my students, and that was student choice. So I decided that 6 choices would be my total number. I thought 3 was too small and maybe 10 could be overwhelming. So from that number 6, I thought, well, I also need a time. How much do I want to allot for my classroom in terms of, like, lessons? And obviously needed to allot more than 10 minutes, but I thought maybe, you know, 30 could be too long to lose the attention span of middle school children. So I settled with 20. So I figured maybe, you know, 6 minutes per station if they're picking 3.
Okay. Yeah.
From there, I used Slides Mania, and then I just, on the tickets, I put each of the platforms. So Flipgrid, then I just copied Flipgrid, and then I inserted the link into our Flipgrid page. So I didn't want them having another step of typing in the code, because that might just get lost. I don't want to be spending time, like, on the actual, like, code and go to this new website. I want it to be all streamlined from that one digital center. so they know exactly where to click.
I love that idea of removing some of those barriers just to make it simple and straightforward. Having 6 choices seems way more manageable than say, right, 10 or 15, but then giving kids the opportunity to choose, say, 3 of them. I like that, you know, 6 times 3, we're keeping it under 20 minutes or so, right? And getting them, giving them an opportunity to move through without losing kind of some of that steam, some of that energy, or feeling bored about it. So when you create these, you mentioned some of the connections between an LMS or where you might post this for students, right? So as you're kind of creating these pieces, do all of the choices kind of have a similar theme, or are they connected in a certain way, or are you using some of your kind of standards or goals for inspiration for those pieces?
Yeah. So I wanted to target, obviously, the speaking part of Spanish. So that's what Flipgrid's for. And then with the EdTech Toolkit, Kahoot, and Quizzes and Quizlet, that's really vocabulary intensive, in my opinion. So that's where I'm getting the data. Also, students get that immediate feedback from those tech tools. I got my answer correct, or I did not correct. And there's no opt-out. So it's really good for collaboration, especially when they're doing team mode with Kahoot and Quizlet Live, because they have to interact with one another and be able to talk through the question or translation. And then the word art, I wanted to connect also with my visual learners and give them an opportunity to be both creative in the work that they will do. And then Pear Deck, that is obviously for SEL as well. And so I'll check in with them through the deck, and then they have time to either draw, translate, draggable, or take to another website. But that's the own pace, which I think is really good.
Yeah. And do you find that students tend to gravitate towards the same choices every time, or do they really bounce around kind of depending on how they're feeling one week versus another?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, Monica. I've definitely got some like high flyers that love Kahoot, and they ask me for it every single day. So I do honor their wish, because I try to get a temperature check, like watching their nonverbals and how they get excited for it, and they're fully engaged in that. So I definitely wanted to honor their wish. I want to push them with using Flipgrid and then also WordArt and Pear Deck, because I still get really good input with that. But it's something about the competitive nature. I find that kids love to brag, love to win, obviously. So I try to put a mix of everything, and I didn't want them to be all games. I also wanted some opportunities for those other kids that just like that independent time to respect, you know, their learning style as well.
Yeah. And I think just that idea that you're honoring those pieces, right? Being flexible, giving kids different things to pick and choose from is so important when we talk about all of it. And I like how, you know, even with the tools that you mentioned, I could imagine there being some substitution of one for another, right? You're using something that really captures student voice with Flipgrid, but there might be another tool someone uses with a similar goal in mind, or you're using something that captures some of that vocabulary practice. So I just love the flexibility of creating a digital choice board. And, you know, speaking of being flexible, I know that you have also written some posts for Edutopia, and I'd love to explore some of the tips from your article for them on flexible lesson planning for world language classes. And anyone who's listening, they can find the link to that in the show notes for today in case they want to dive in to the text itself. But, you know, digital choice boards definitely give students some options. But what are some other things that should be taken into consideration with flexible lesson planning?
Yeah, so the article I talk about really lesson pacing, structure, and then differentiating your EdTech tools. So for me, I really think it's important to have a bell ringer and an exit ticket every single day. So the kids, when they come to class, the 5-minute timer is counting down. They go to a Google form, which they bookmark, and it just has one day. So that, because obviously their answers are going to differ every day in their questions. And so they know, go to the bookmark, fill out questions. And there's a little emoji thing I put for them too. So they check in with their SEL, and then train them as well for the end of the class as a quick point for me, the exit ticket, same thing. They bookmark it, and it's a 1-5 questions again. How did you like? And they're very honest, of which I appreciate. What did you learn and how can it improve? And then some series of questions. So I think those are important, and then embedding timers in everything you do. So after the warm up, then we transition to like whole group instruction. So that's usually vocabulary heavy. We might do like a Kahoot, use at that time we were using Zoom. And then when we transition to the pair collaboration, I do Flashcard Factory with Pear Deck, which is good for vocabulary acquisition. Was doing Zoom breakout rooms, so they had more one-on-one time with me and their peers and not just, you know, cold calling large groups. And then we transition to independent practice. And a lot of times that's when we can do Quizlet, like the flashcards, or they can do matching on their own device. They also do quizzes, and that has three different modes. They like the classic mode, but they could do the team mode. And then exit ticket, they can also do a Flipgrid. So they give a synopsis of what they learned that day. And that also gives me like just that social emotional piece. I can see them, or even with their new feature, the mic on without the camera. I think that's powerful. But I just like flexibility within the tools. I don't want to use one tool the entire time. It might lose its spark. So I try to use different things to give different learners opportunities to connect me, and then as well as their peers, and of course the material.
Yeah. And just as you're talking there too about, you know, rotating some of these tools, using different things at different times, I think for someone who's listening today that's looking, you know, to build their tool belt, if you will, or looking for new tools, I love that you are anchoring those practices in a routine, right? So the routine might stay the same, right? You are always doing a bell ringer or do now. You're always doing the exit slip. Kids know that a choice board asks them to do certain things or to click on different places, yet you're rotating and just being flexible with what the actual activity is. So that is just so fantastic. And I'm going to make sure to link out to your Twitter here so people can follow along and see some of the great snaps and pictures that you posted, you know, all about the digital choice boards that you use with students. But before we finish up today, where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
You can connect with me on both Instagram and Twitter at Technology Laura. I love learning from other educators. So feel free to follow me. I'll follow you back. And I love to share things that I know has worked for me personally and my students. And I want to empower other educators to use technology in a way that improves student outcomes.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for helping us unpack this term, digital choice board. I can't wait to see what all the listeners make and create. And I'm sure they will tag you in some of their pictures too.
Thank you.
It was so much fun chatting with Laura and learning about the way that she uses digital choice boards with her students. Before we get to our normal, let's make this ed tech easy with a couple steps, I just want to revisit with you a couple things to consider if you are getting started for the first time with digital choice boards or just wrapping your head around this concept. So essentially, to get started or kick off using digital choice boards, you need to have a vision of what students will do when they go out into their own independent work time. So the connection Laura made to station rotation, I think, is a really great one, or using centers. So if you normally have students go out and move through different centers, really at any age level, that's a great way to think about the choices, just like you would choose a few different stations for students. Then you would set up an interactive document. Laura uses Google Slides. You heard her mention Slides Mania as a great place to go to for templates. There's a few different places you could use for templates. Canva is another one you might use for slide backgrounds. And then you put the links to the different activities on that interactive slide. And if you follow along with Laura on Twitter, you'll see some of these examples, and I linked out to them in the show notes for today as well. So essentially, you are posting this interactive slide, interactive meaning you can click on the different links that's added to that slide, and students, as they click on them, go out to an activity. So maybe that activity is a self-paced Pear Deck or self-paced Nearpod lesson, or maybe it's a Kahoot activity that they're working on independently, right? So they're going out on their own doing something that is a good fit for that content area that is going to help reinforce reinforce or review something or help students explore something new. So there's a lot that you can do with digital choice boards, really crafting them to the particular content area that you're working on. And if you are working with younger students, having them know where to go, creating the routines around this, of course, would be essential. But your older students, your high school, secondary students can interact within this interactive space of a digital choice board and kind of decide what their time is going to look like when they are working on a particular content area or topic that they're diving into a little bit more deeply. So really appreciate Laura's insight into digital choice boards and all of the examples that she shared. So let's make this EdTech easy, like we always do. First, work backwards with your content area goals in mind. Next, establish a vision of what students will do, maybe 6 choices. Then, remove any extra steps that are going to make it hard for students to participate, like an extra or additional login. Finally, include complimentary routines like an exit ticket. Remember, you can find the show notes for this episode with all of the resources and tools mentioned today and info on how to connect with Laura by heading to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 140. A quick reminder, today's episode is sponsored by my Easy EdTech Club, a monthly membership designed to help educators like you dive into one EdTech topic each month and get access to exclusive resources. Doors open up to new members in 2022, so if you'd like to join the hundreds of educators in the group already, make sure to grab a spot on the waitlist. Head to classtechtips.com/club to be the first to know when doors open. Did you like today's episode? Well, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you think a friend or colleague would enjoy the tips from today, send them a text with the link to today's episode. And if you share on social media, don't forget to tag me at Class Tech Tips. I just might have something special for you. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for next week's new episode.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.